I want to greet each one this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also bring to you greetings from our church at home in the little town of Renick, West Virginia. We sang that song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." I'm thankful this morning that we're not worshiping a cross. My Bible tells me that our Savior was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it says that we hid as though it were our faces from Him, that we did esteem Him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm wondering this morning, how many of you are excited about what Christ has done for you? Are we thankful enough, as we should be? You know, I think as I get older, it just every day, I'm amazed at what God has done for me in Christ, that He accepts me as one of His children. It's such a blessing. As we work in communities where there's so many people who profess but do not possess the walk with Christ, we should be more thankful. Thanksgiving is an anecdote for discouragement. It's an anecdote for many things in life. Thanksgiving, a thankful heart, one that praises God. This morning, I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to a scripture in Luke, the 3rd chapter, for a message. This here is the part of the work of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we want to look at I'd like to read from verses 4 to verse 18. Luke chapter 3, verse 4. "And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.' And the people ask him, saying, 'What shall we do then?' He answered and saith unto them, 'He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise.' Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, 'Master, what shall we do?' And he said unto them, 'Exact no more than that which is appointed you.' And the soldiers likewise, 'What shall we do?' And he said unto them, 'Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages.' And as the people were in expectation, all men amused in their heart of John, whether he was the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, 'I did baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." And we see here these people ask the question, "What shall we do?" Now, when the Apostle Paul was struck down the road to Damascus, he didn't ask, "What shall we do?" He said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" There's a difference there. But the thought I like in this scripture is the axe is laid to the root of the tree. That when Christ works in a heart, he does not start from the top down. He starts from the bottom up, and he builds the foundation from the bottom up. And this morning I've titled my message, Prioritizing Our Priorities. You know, we all make choices in life, and we all have things that we think are important to us. But do we put them in the right priority in God's eyes? We could just start with a Sunday school lesson and talk about that very thing that we just discussed. The rich man did not prioritize his priorities. He did not have them set in the right line. He didn't have them straight and set. This is what they should look like. Well, our priorities should look like this. Christ, the scripture says he's the head of the church. He said he's the head of the body. He's our head. He's our Lord. Because he has eternity in him. Second, it should be, and you could have these next two reversed. I have the home in Christ because eternity is in it. We have the church in life with Christ because of eternity. And then we have everyday life incorporated in the above for eternity. We have material life subservient to the above because of eternity. That's in a nutshell what our priorities should look like. That is a nutshell what it would be because of eternity. We do not live for ourselves. We do not live to satisfy ourselves. Yes, we do. We do things to satisfy ourselves. But that's not the goal of the Christian's life. When the goal of the Christian's life is to glorify God in every part of life, every step of life, every act of life, because of eternity, then our priorities will be God-centered and God-blessed. And what would it be? We could speak on Christ and eternity. We could speak on the home. We could speak on the church. We could speak on everyday life. But what is the design of our priorities for eternity? We have here this scripture, the axe is laid to the root. The design of the gospel, I quote, the design of the gospel, which started with the preaching of John the Baptist and then Christ, was to make man devout and pious, holy and heavenly, humble and meek, sober and chaste, just and honest, charitable and kind, good in every relationship, who had been otherwise, and this is to be by true repentance. All these things is hinged upon true repentance. True repentance should be a priority as we share, as we declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we walk amongst men, we should walk as people that understand true repentance. And try to lead others to that same level of life. You know, Jesus, whenever he worked with man, he always started where they were at. And then he would bring them to where he was at. And that should be a desire within us. That's a desire I have within my heart. As I work with people and work with individuals, you know, that we could open a picture of the heavenly, that they could see the blessings of walking with Christ in all of life. Now, let's leave this scripture. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. This scripture, this message, I preached at home last Sunday, and I looked ahead in the Sunday school lesson and saw the Sunday school lesson you had today, and saw that it runs right with the same parallel. But I guess if we repeat what already been said, that's what we need. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, I'd like to read the first 6 verses. It says here, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find in it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the trees fall to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." This scripture says to cast thy bread upon the waters. You know, I've heard say that if this holds true or not, but they said if a person drowns in water and you can't find the body, they claim if you throw bread on the water that it will go and stop over top of the body. I don't know if that's true. But this scripture would point to the fact that we should be a people that lives in a world of needs and wants and should live with an open hand, because God has given us so many things. So many things. But so many times, it seems like that we're more concerned, with the outcome of what we do for others than what we, than what we should be. Have we met the needs? Well, we'll say we want to give something to someone. And we say, well, are they going to use it properly? Are they going to, they're going to do this? Our God did not give us the privilege to be a child of His on the basis of how I'm going to use it. He gave it with an open hand. And it's my responsibility to use it to His glory. And He's wanting us to live a life that portrays His image as we work and testify to others. Well, we might think, will we get rewarded for what we do? We think about that. That if you give, we're going to be blessed. Is the reward what we do it for? The scripture says, those who do that, they have their reward. But we give it because it is Christ within here. Tells us to give it. Tells us to share. And how it comes out, we know not how. But we trust that God will manifest Himself in some way or another through what is done. And I pray that our lives could be a testimony that magnifies the name of Christ. We're not here to magnify our churches. We're not here to magnify ourselves. We're not here to glorify what we do. We're here to illuminate the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We're here to be an example to the people we meet. We all meet people every day. We meet people in every hand. Now, I'm going to disagree with our Sunday school teacher just a little wee bit in the story that Jesus gave. I had him, we lived in Tennessee. There was an old logger there, and he was a rough man. And he come to me one day, and he said, "Man," he says, "I got a question, and no preacher's ever answered for me." He said, "I want to know, what happens to a person when they die?" I said, "Felton, Jesus said in the scripture, there was a rich man and there was a poor man." This is not a parable. What we talked about this morning is not a parable. It says there was. And it says the rich man ended up in hell and the poor man ended up in a state of bliss. I said, that's what happens. When a person's life determines, it says, as a deed done in the body, you know, whether they're good or evil. That's the only thing that I would disagree. It does speak of two eternities. And two eternities, it should be on the burden of our hearts for the people we work with, for the people we share with. You know, I remember a boy that worked for us for a while. And one morning my son called me. He said, "Johnny was killed." You know, Johnny was killed. I said, "What?" It was a boy that worked for us. He had been a burn victim. His body was burned almost 100%. The only place he would sweat was to the top of his head. Johnny was killed. It hit me like a stone because I had never talked to Johnny about his soul. I never asked him how it was. There was times that we prayed with him. He had some problems. And he'd come to us to ask us to pray with him. But Johnny was dead. And the reason I give that account is I do that to help us to realize we do not walk past opportunities and doors that God opens in front of us. We walk through those doors and use them to the glory of God. We prioritize our priorities in light of eternity. If you don't hear nothing else this morning, remember that. Our priorities should be always in light of eternity. Not how it satisfies me, but it's how it praises and glorifies God. That should be our burdens in our hearts as we go through life. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." It says, "Give a portion to seven and also to eight." I interpret that scripture, it means whatever the need is. If God says do it, if it's seven or eight, do it. Do it. Walk through that opportunity, that door of opportunity, and do it to His glory, to the glory and praise of His holy name. You know, we do that, but we don't know what we might face. But have we met the need? Have we met the need? Back in Luke 9, it's an interesting thing there in Luke 9. The disciples came back and they said, "You know, Lord, you know, even the devils were subject unto us." And they experienced great experiences. And then on down in the chapter, it says that Jesus fed a group of people with a little bit of nothing, about 4,000 people. And they had great miracles. And then Jesus said to them, "You know, people, who do people say that I am?" And some says you're John the Baptist, some says, but he says, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter come up with this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They had right words. Right after that, in verse 23, it says, Jesus says, "But if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, sometimes we get all excited about great experiences and great miracles and right words, and we forget to deny ourselves. When we prioritize our priorities, the first thing we need to do is come to the foot of the cross in self-denial if we're going to meet any need within the heart of mankind. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's not get so excited about right words and great experiences and great miracles, but we fall at Jesus' feet as a servant of his. And it says there in Luke, I think also, and when we have done all of our duty to do, we can say we're just unprofitable servants. We have only done that which is our duty to do. We haven't done it, only that was our duty. We haven't done nothing. We're just a servant of Christ, serving him. That should be our heart. That should be our desire. That should be within us. To glorify our Lord and Savior. Well, then, how do we prioritize our priorities then? How do we set them? Too many times that we set them is how they affect me. How they affect me. In this scripture here, it says that if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. What is that saying to us? As if the clouds be full of rain, it doesn't say that God says, I'm going to put some here and not here. No, it says they just empty themselves upon the earth. Brothers and sisters, our lives should be just like the clouds of rain, that we empty ourselves upon those around us. We radiate out from our lives a beauty, a desire to touch their lives, the cords of tenderness in every heart. I don't care how hard or how rough or how mean people look. In every heart, there's a tender spot that can be touched. In every heart. I tell you what experience I had just the other day, about a couple weeks ago. We were close to Pittsburgh, and we was in this store. And this lady had a lot of tattoos up her arms. And I don't know, someone just told me to speak to this lady. And I just asked her, I said, why do you do that? Well, she said, somebody talked me into it when I was young, but I didn't realize they were permanent. And I just said to her, do you realize that Jesus loves you very much? She says, yes, I realize that. But she said, thank you for doing that. What I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, speak life to people. Speak life to their bosom that touches their life. Speak life into their heart. You know, many times we see that and we right away, we write them off. But they have a tenderness in their heart that God has put there that he wants to touch. And he might want you to be the one that touches them. Be that servant of Jesus Christ to touch the heart of people. As the clouds empty the rain upon the earth, and the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. There it shall be. That speaks to me that sometimes, you know, in our rush of life, we got our schedules, we got whatever we want to do. And here comes along a person that says, would you do so and so for me? Oh, I'm busy. I don't have time. I don't have time. We miss an opportunity to stop. You read Matthew Mark, and Luke, and read it in light of Jesus' life. I call it people stops. Jesus had lots of people stops in his life, and we do too if we take the opportunities. If we prioritize our priorities and we see that life is not about me, but it's about Christ, and we share that to them. We should not be so concerned about ourselves, but be concerned about others. Says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You know, sometimes we see things in a person, we look straight through them, and we're afraid to share what God would want us to share. And we lose an opportunity to share the beauty of Christ in life to others. I'd like to now go into the scripture and look at some lives. And the number one life I have in my notes was the one we had for Sunday school this morning. The rich man did not prioritize his priorities. He didn't regard the poor man at his gate. The dogs had more sympathy than what the rich man did, because they at least licked the man's sores. And do you realize a dog licking his sores, it will heal? Just here some time ago, our dog come in from the woods and his one hind leg was just torn to pieces. I don't know if he got in a trap or a bear got him or what, but he licked that and licked that and licked that and found a heel. It says more of the dogs licked. They had better priorities than what the rich man did. He didn't prioritize his priorities. You know, many times we don't have time. We don't have time for those individuals that have no benefit for us. We don't have time for them. But those are the ones that God wants us to share with, to tell with. I'll give you another experience. Maybe I shouldn't give you some. One time when my first wife was still living, we was out in Mexico at a clinic, and there was a beggar come into the little compound where we were staying, and what was his name? Hosea was his name. And they chased him out. He went out and sat under some bushes out there along the road. So I went out, I sit down beside him, and I said, Hosea, you know, I start talking with him. And, you know, just being a friend to him. He pulled a harmonica out of his pocket and began to play some of the most beautiful hymns. You know the song, Only a Tramp, was Lazarus' fate? Says he was some mother's darling. He was some mother's child. Hosea was some mother's darling. There was a spot in his heart that was touched, that was tender. He looked like a tramp. He smelled like a tramp. But he still had a heart within him. And whenever I showed him love, he played to me some beautiful hymns. He knew four languages. He wasn't a dumb man. He was a smart man. There is people like us all over the world, beloved, that is looking for someone to touch the chord of love in their heart. And the Lord is expecting you to do that. The Lord is expecting you to do that. He's expecting me to do that. And so many times we don't have time. We're so busy with our schedules, we don't have time. We don't have time. We have the account of Samson. I'm not going to turn to these accounts for say. Have the account of Samson there when he was strong. He was strong, and this woman he was living with was trying to find out his great strength. And you know, he told her this and he told her that, and he'd just get up and shake himself. But then, one day, she pressed him, And he told her, he said, there's never been a razor put on my head. And she saw that he told her all his heart. And she had somebody come in and cut his hair. And it says, I will, when he says, she says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He said, I'll get up and I'll shake myself as at other times. But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He wist not. He didn't prioritize his priorities. He was playing with fire and he got burned. And so will we. If we play with fire, beloved, we're going to get burned. We will get burned. It says, he wist not that the Lord departed from him. The sad end. But thankful that Samson did have an opportunity to repent. His name was in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the faithful. In Luke the 12th chapter, we have the account. We call him the rich fool. It says he had a great crop. And every farmer that farms and works hard, he loves a bountiful crop. And he says, well, this is what I do. He says, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater. There was nothing wrong with that. We build our barns sometimes bigger to take care of what the Lord has entrusted us with. But then he made a mistake. He said, then I will say to myself, thou hast laid up many things for thyself, eat, drink, and be merry. He didn't prioritize his priorities. And the Lord says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What shall be? Whose then will these things be? Whose then will they be? He didn't prioritize his priorities in light of eternity. The Lord blessed him, and he was going to can all he gets and get all he can and set on the lid. And beloved, that's not what God wants when he blesses us. He wants us to share with another what he's blessed us with. He's wanting to share. I remember years ago, I had meetings in Costa Rica, and I was supposed to preach a message on how to share one with another. Well, you know, being an American, it's a little hard to know how it works in Costa Rica. You know, they didn't have lots of things like we had. But they did have two bags of beans. They did have, you know, they did have some of this. They eat beans morning, evening, and night. They did have these things, and they could share them one with another. Do we share what God has entrusted us with? And then Jesus gives the account of the rich young ruler who came to him. And Jesus says, it says Jesus loved him. And he says unto him, he come to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know, do not kill, do not steal, do not, all these laws, and he says, I've done that from my youth up. Then Jesus looked right into his heart. He said, this one thing thou lackest. Go sell that thou hast and give to the poor and come and follow me. Come and follow me. What happened? Did he do that? No, it says he went out because he had many possessions. Brothers and sisters, sometimes that comes pretty close home. We have things, but we're not willing to sell out for Jesus Christ. I don't think Jesus was telling him to sell all his possessions, but he was trying to tell him that what he has is not his own, but he said they're mine. And when we come to when we have the attitude that what's mine is mine, we are just like him. We're not prioritizing our priorities in the right place in light of eternity. We have nothing that was not given to us. Nothing. Our talents, our gifts, our possessions, our money, or whatever we have, it's not ours. Beloved, it's not ours. If we think it's ours, we're going to end up sad. But if we share with what we have, God can bless it. If we keep it, we'll lose it. If we give it away, we'll keep it. That's the blessing of the scripture. In the home, in the church, in the community, wherever we work, that principle always stays the same. It starts right at home. It starts in the church. It starts with the people we love. And then it starts with the people who don't love us. It goes out. Why? It's because eternity is in it. When we prioritize our priorities, eternity is in it. That should be our mindset, because we serve a living Lord, a loving Lord, a caring Lord, a sharing Lord, and one who has his priorities right, and he wants our priorities to meet his priorities. That's what he wants. That's what he's asking for you and I. That's what he wants from each of us. How is our priorities set? In the morning sow thy seed, and the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whither they both shall be like good. We often get the cart before the horse, and we're worried about the outcome, and not worried about sowing the seed in the morning, sowing in the evening, and not knowing whither it shall grow. You know, we here in the United States, we go and we flip a switch and we see the lights come on. And we think that works in working with people, but don't work that way, beloved. Don't work that way. We're told to sow the seed. And the prospering of that seed will be the work of Christ in heart. I remember Brother John Mass at Crossville made the statement already so many times. We stand between the person and the Holy Spirit that we're working with, and we hinder the work of the Spirit because we want to see something happen. We want to see something happen. And we hinder that work, which is God's work. We do our part, God will do his. God will do his. May God help us, beloved. I did not preach this sermon to you. I preached it to myself. I preached it last Sunday at home. It's a burden on my heart that we always live in light of eternity. As we walk, as we live, as we work, as we go, people we meet on every hand, they're expecting us to share with them. I'll give another experience we had just not recently. My wife and I walked out of Walmart. This man come right to us. He says, I'm from El Salvador. No, not El Salvador. Bolivia. I was from Bolivia. He had a broken English, but I could understand him. He said, I was a rich man. I was a government man. I had a family. I had everything. And he says, I've lost everything. He said, I've lost everything. He said, I've killed people. And I just told him, I said, Jesus Christ can clean your slate and give you a heart that's free. He said, me? I said, well, he did for me. Oh, he said, you never did anything wrong. I said, Jesus Christ cleansed my slate and made it clean. He can do yours too. That's the message, beloved, that we want to give to every person we meet. Why? It's because eternity's in it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, take your word. Make it alive in my heart, in the heart of the hearers, Lord. Your name be glorified. Oh God, thank you for being our Father and loving us through Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.